be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. We have a beautiful sunny day today, and even though many of us are still half asleep, we do enjoy sunlight and warmth and the idea that the winter is going away, hopefully, and spring will be in the air today. It is good to be here. It is good to be at this holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is always good to be here. And we might say, along with Peter, we understand, Peter, it is good to be that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We have a tendency to get complacent. It's good to be here, but why? What are we here for? Are we here to grow? Are we here to change? Are we here to repent? Or are we more like Peter and say to the Lord each day, "Lord, it is good that we are here," and we are happy with the place in which we are right now? In the first reading, the Lord says to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." God tells Abram to go. And what does Abram do? He goes. He trusts in the Lord. He listens to the Lord's promise. "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you." He and Sarah are old. They're set in their ways. They want to stay where they are. But at the word of the Lord, they go. "I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. You will have children more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the shores." Abraham must have heard this and thought, "I would rather stay here, Lord. I like it here. I like hearing your voice. Can we just stay here?" But Abram went as the Lord directed him. We hear his words when we listen to Jesus, who tells us, "Come, follow me." He doesn't tell the disciples any of the details. God didn't tell Abraham any of the details. but he promised that he would have descendants. And so far, even though he was an old man, he and Sarah had no children. But then Isaac was born. And we know that saga, how when Isaac was a young man, Abram was told to sacrifice his son as his firstborn. And he must have thought, where will the promise be? God has promised me so much, and yet I'm supposed to kill and sacrifice my son. And in the end, the angel of the Lord said, do not sacrifice your son Isaac. Substitute. And that became the beginning of the sacrifices that the Jewish people would have eventually in their own temple. Jesus calls us to repentance. Jesus calls us to change our hearts and our minds and to go out sometimes with discomfort with those changes. But he calls us. Repent, believe the gospel. Come to me, all who are burdened, and I will refresh you. Come, come. Today we have this beautiful story of the transfiguration of Jesus with Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets. And Peter has a normal reaction. Wow, this is great. This is great. We have Jesus and we have Moses and Elijah. We've never seen Moses and Elijah before. We know Jesus. Lord, it is good that we are here. Let's make some tents. But God has other things in mind. Other things in mind. He wanted to show Peter and James and John who Jesus was, that he was divine. His transfiguration was such that his clothes became white as the light and his face shone like the sun. A true metamorphosis, a true transfiguration. But then a cloud comes across the mountain, and from the cloud a voice. This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. That's the word for us today. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his words. Listen to his voice in your hearts and minds. Listen to him. The disciples heard the immense voice of God coming to them, and they were very afraid. They were very afraid. Even though they knew there was a relationship between God and Jesus, the transcendent might of the Creator God was fearsome, was full of awe, was full of majesty and splendor, and they were rightly afraid. He, the Creator God, had sent Jesus to us, the Word, as the Word made flesh, his very own Word made flesh, in order that we might not be so afraid. From the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, he came to us in ways, and he comes to us in ways that do not frighten us. He came to us as a baby at Christmas. He came to us as a young boy at his finding in the temple. He comes to us as a man in many ways, and he gives us precious divine gifts. He gives us the gift of his body and blood even before he is crucified. Isn't that a mystery? On Holy Thursday, he gives his body and blood to his disciples even before he offers himself on the cross. In God, time is not linear. In God, time is eternal. And the eternal that we learn today in this transfiguration is that God wants us to be transformed like Jesus. He's offering us gifts precious, eternal in heaven, those things which eye has not seen nor mind can comprehend. But each time we come to this holy sacrifice of the Mass, each time we come to his holy altar, we come with joyful hearts to receive something that is precious. his body and his blood, so that just as he transforms ordinary bread and wine into his body and blood, so we are transformed into something that we cannot be, which is divine. He is offering us something. And Jesus says to us each day, as he said to his disciples, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else there but Jesus. We need to cling to Jesus more and more in our lives, to come to him, to tell him our problems, to cry with him in his sorrows and ours, to immerse our lives in his so much that there is no distinction, that we become one body in Christ. This little parish will become one body in Christ the more and more we are in communion with Jesus. It makes us closer together. We are called and gifted by him for something truly divine, to become his saints in heaven. From the shining cloud, the Father's voice is heard. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him."